Welcome to the Fourth Trimester Training Podcast. I'm Lindsay Newman, and I'm here to revolutionize the way we approach postpartum care. We're challenging the status quo and redefining what it means to thrive after childbirth. Join me as we dive into functional health, optimal nutrition, lifestyle, and corrective exercise, specifically for moms to feel their most athletic no matter their age. Whether you're weeks postpartum or years down the line, this is your go-to resource for reclaiming your strength, energy, and confidence. This episode today is going to be a little bit different, but I really just feel it's important for me to share some of the stories of motherhood that are mine, that belong to me, so that they can have a home and belong in my personal space and hopefully influence and help someone who's maybe listening along. And this is one of them, one of those stories that I want to share. Before I dive in, I want to preface by saying the moral of this story, and usually we come to the moral of the story at the end, but I think it's important for you to know that this story in particular is one that I want to talk about in regard to women supporting women, moms supporting moms. We hear this all the time, so maybe you're cringing. You know, sometimes on social media when I hear hashtag women supporting women, oh, look at us, we're so phenomenal, we support one another. It can feel disingenuous sometimes, and that can be a little frustrating to me because I think we have to identify what does supporting one another actually look like. So I'm going to dive back into my story, and if you've been listening a couple of episodes back, you remember me talking about a time when I was struggling with a really chronically ill baby. I learned so much about myself during that time, more than I could possibly even begin to illustrate. Hindsight is always 20/20. So now looking back, I can see myself from a very different light and perspective. And that is the case for all of us. Sometimes we don't see ourselves completely when we're in the moment going through something really, really challenging. It's important for us to give us grace when that's the case. But hindsight is going to help me tell this story. So I think that's going to be really important. There have been a lot of times in my life when I've thought, you know what? I'm at my wit's end. I have met my bandwidth. How could I possibly serve or support anybody else when I'm barely floating, barely making it? And we're going to get to that because I think it's important to recognize your bandwidth and to understand that, yeah, maybe this time and season is not for you to be serving like you may be capable in other times and seasons of motherhood. But at this particular time in my life, while I was struggling with a chronically ill baby, I had met my bandwidth. I was really struggling. To help illustrate this a little bit, I want you to know that though I was struggling, I have a very supportive family. That's important to be said. I have six sisters. There are seven girls in my family, two brothers, and we're all really good friends. We're really close. We love to spend time together. We only bicker here and there. It's all in good fun, and there's never an argument that doesn't get resolved with great communication. So I have a wonderful support system, wonderful family, and I'm really grateful for those relationships. I recognize how lucky I am to have them. So years ago, when I was a little bit younger, I lived out in Boston. This was about 10 years ago. Ugh, that makes me feel so old. 10 years ago. And at the time, I had two kids, Carter, my oldest, who was about 4, and Clarissa, who was 2 at the time, maybe not quite. So all to say, I had two little kids, and I was living in Boston right across the street from one of my sisters. Her name is Carly. And it just so happened that we moved out there at about the exact same time that her husband got a job in the area. They had been living in Maryland. We had been in Utah. So both of us were making this big move to Boston. And we found housing together. We decided we wanted to live close by. So we were across the street in these cute little townhomes in the city of Concord, Massachusetts. It was so wonderful. Baby monitors could reach from house to house. There were so many benefits. There were also times when I thought, okay, we can't be together every second of every day. And I think all of us need our space. But looking back, I just am so grateful for that time I got with her and that I had to really grow close to Carly. Carly is just older than I am by about 2.5 years, and she really helped me branch out in a lot of ways I hadn't before. In fact, she started teaching me a lot at the time about nutrition and eating whole foods and anti-inflammatory foods. She loved going to the raw dairy farm out there, and my husband and I were like completely shocked, appalled. At the time, we were like, oh, this is gross. Raw milk? Awful. But they sold raw milk ice cream, and slowly but surely, Carly in her crunchy ways kind of rubbed off on me, I will say. Carly was all about using whole ingredients, and she already at the time had kind of stepped into what's now a little bit more popular, a little bit more known, but eliminating toxins and endocrine disruptors from the home. She made her own laundry soap. She did so much. She did a lot. And health was a really high priority for her, and it always has been. So it was kind of the first introduction that I ever had to eating a little bit differently and to fueling my body, and that kind of pushed me onto the big wide web, Google, trying to do some of my own research. So while I lived out in Boston, I started running. That was my running phase. I was just a total runner. That was it. And that was really my birthplace of health and fitness in general, was my time spent out in Boston, where I started to really, really find myself. I started to feel good in my body. I started to feel capable and strong and fueled rather than heavy and sluggish and slow. So Carly was a huge influence in my life. Huge. Well, you can imagine that when my husband and I were relocating to California all the way across the country, that was incredibly difficult for us as sisters. Carly felt like, you know, she was, man, we were saying goodbye to this phase of life that we had gotten to share and cherish together, raising our kids. And I don't want to put words into her mouth. So Carly, you should be here telling the story with me. But actually, I just felt really heartbroken. She felt really sad to have us leave them behind in Boston, and I was devastated moving across the country where I didn't know anybody, and life looked very, very, very different. I was pregnant at the time, or shortly after we moved to California, and I felt a little lonely. Making friends was really hard, and I realized how much I had relied on family out in Boston to really be there and to connect with me. Carly was the one. She was the one who had kind of set me up with all of our friends. She planned get-togethers for the most part and gatherings, and kind of helped me branch out in that way that maybe my more introverted self might not have done on my own. But I just didn't realize that she was really the instigator and responsible for most of those things until I moved to California. And now it was my responsibility. If I wanted to make friends, I had to instigate. I had to really be welcoming. I had to put myself out there, and it was a challenge for sure. And just to give you a little example of that, I went to church that first week that we were living there in California, and I looked at all of the people around me and I thought, gosh, there's nobody here my age. This is going to be really, really hard. But there was one really beautiful girl that I was like, she looks about my age. She looks fun. She looks cute. So I sat by her and, like a complete crazy person, asked her if she and her family wanted to come over for dessert later that night. Hey, you don't know me, but would you like to come over to my house? I'll feed you cookies. Do you want to come connect? Honestly, she could have been very concerned, but she agreed. She was like, oh, that's really nice. No one's ever invited us over for dessert. Yeah, we'll come. So little by little, we became very close friends. And I also started branching out and looking outside of myself, because oftentimes as moms, we feel really lonely. Man, it's an isolating journey. And I've noticed that it's isolating in different ways, through different phases. You know, when my kids were younger, I was able to get together with moms a whole heck of a lot more than I do now currently. Where now, being a mom of kids who are a little bit older, who I'm running to and fro to all of their different activities, they're all in school, it can feel really lonely. And that's a tragedy. But it is. It's harder to get together with people, coordinating everyone's schedules, and it's hard for moms to feel like they can just step outside of the house and get their free time. But moms really need connection. We still need it. It's just a little more difficult to find. So that's just a little tidbit that I wanted to throw out there to keep your brain thinking about what phase you're in and maybe how you can connect and be the instigator or not. So living in California, I started reaching out, making more friends, feeling a lot more peaceful and comfortable with my life, where it was at. And I started to realize that I didn't necessarily have to have immediate family nearby me. Though it was just completely indispensable, I started to realize that other people could become my family for a time or a phase or a season, and that was really transformational in my life, and it was what I was really going to need. Because then, when I did have my third son who was born in California, after I had left the care of my loving sister, he was born with a chronic lung disease, and we were in the hospital every single month, multiple times a month, getting medications and treatment, or he was just, you know, struggling all the time. He needed full-time oxygen. He was being fed with feeding tubes every single day, couldn't eat on his own. And it got to the point that ultimately the physicians told us he was going to need a lung transplant. And so they sent us to Cincinnati, Ohio. Oh, to get that lung transplant done. I was not in the season. I was not in the phase to be instigating a lot of things. I was absolutely drowning. And the amount of women who showed up in my life at that time completely astounds me. And it humbles me to no end. I want to give you a couple of examples of that. My son, my youngest son, who was so sick, took so much of my time that I felt completely guilty. And most moms can relate to this. You know, when you have a second or a third child, you feel so bad for the first or the second. Like, please don't forget that I love you. I'm still here for you. It can be tough. You feel a lot of guilt. And that guilt weighed really heavily on me. I had, you know, my oldest, Carter and Clarissa, whom I just could not give as much time to. But Carter at the time, my oldest, he loved big wheels. I don't know if you, like, do your kids still ride big wheels? Do you know what they are? Because my son was obsessed, and we got him a big wheel for Christmas, and he rode the thing into the freaking ground. He would spin out on that thing like he was on Mission Impossible. He would fly down the road. And the wheels eventually were just shredding from him just spinning and loving his life. He loved it so much that one day when those wheels got so shredded it broke, he was devastated. He was so sad. And I remember feeling really sad about that too, because I felt like, gosh, I don't feel like I can get him another big wheel right now. But I also don't give him the time or the attention that I feel like I should be giving him. I feel like I'm failing as a mom. I remember talking to a couple of friends about that specifically and saying, oh, so frustrating. Carter's big wheel broke. And Carter had mentioned it to a couple of his buddies or their parents. And I don't even remember where I said that or who I talked to about it. I do not remember that. But about 3 days later, there was a knock at the door. We opened the door and no one was there, but what should we find? A brand new big wheel. And of course, Carter was elated. He couldn't even stand it. You can imagine his enthusiasm. Oh my gosh, he loved it so much. And I remember feeling like, whoever did this saw me in a way that I needed to be seen. And I didn't even know how badly I needed to be seen, but someone was paying attention. Someone was stepping in and being my village for me. Someone was going to help me out where I felt like I was falling extremely short. There was another time that I was coming home from the hospital with Will, my youngest at the time. Oh boy, and this one really gets me. This gets me because there's nothing quite so humbling As walking through the front door and finding a neighbor, a sweet, sweet neighbor friend, folding your laundry. Every inch of my body wanted to recoil. I was so embarrassed, so ashamed, and also so grateful, so grateful. I hate folding laundry. If you know me well enough by now, you know it's the worst. And also, I really didn't have the energy to do it. So my laundry would just sit in piles and piles and piles. My neighbor got a key to the house and came inside and started to clean up, brought dinner, and was folding my laundry. And something like that was such a gift. And it may have felt small to her, but it was huge. It was huge to me for this neighbor to share her time and her energy like that with me. Another time I was having a really, really hard day. During this phase of trying to know what I was going to do for my son, if he was going to survive, how I was going to cope. And I remember standing out on the sidewalk and, you know, oftentimes we try and guard ourselves as women. We try to really kind of put on this front like, yeah, it's hard, but I'm okay. Everything's fine. And I just remember letting this friend have it. Like, it is not fine. We are not going to be okay over here. And I stood on the sidewalk. I still remember kind of scuffing at the curb, not wanting to make a lot of eye contact with her. And I just cried. And I just cried and cried and cried. And she just listened to me. And it all started when she asked how I was doing. And then she just listened. And she let me just cry. She just let me cry. She let me bare my complete soul to her. And she was not deterred. She was not uncomfortable. She didn't feel awkward. She didn't turn away. She didn't try to end the conversation early. And she didn't try to fix anything either. She just gave me her time. She gave me her time and she listened. And it meant so much to me. I can hardly even say it without getting emotional. And I think each of us have these times in our life where we've seen people, I hope, show up in this kind of a way for us, because these acts of kindness or service make all the difference in a mother's life. They do. And yet, how often are we the one to instigate them? How often are we the one? Or are we constantly and chronically living our life in that place of, I'm drowning and I can't? My bandwidth is not enough. I'm not able to help anyone else. You know, if that's the case, I would challenge you a little bit to look at the way that you are coping with your life and seek a little bit of help. See if you can't find some help around you. And also maybe let's do a little bit of mental fitness. See where you can improve your tolerance so that you are able to help others. It means the world. It means the absolute world. Again, this is not going to be every phase and season of your life. There will be some times when you cannot give more than what you have, and what you have is right in front of you, and you have to protect it and take care of it. I understand that. So, back to Carly, my sister, living in Boston, who I left, who was heartbroken, and who at the time was really, really distressed by the fact that I had just had a baby. She couldn't be there, and that he was so sick. And she was living all the way across the country. What could she possibly do? How could she possibly help? All of my siblings were so helpful. One of my sisters sent me a brand new pair of Birkenstocks because I had told her I'd been thinking they were so cute and functional for California, and maybe I would get a pair, but I never did. And so she shipped them to me. She just sent them to me. So much kindness. Other siblings drove to California to visit and to stay with us, and they helped me take care of my son, helped me and watched as I had to shove these little NG tubes down his nose and throat all the way to his stomach so we can feed him, helped me keep him held down and in place, and lived in those really, really challenging moments with me, watched as we were trying to care for a child that we were concerned wasn't going to make it. They were there. And so many reached out via text or called, and Carly was doing all of those things. She had even booked a flight out to come and visit, and it distressed her so much to not be living right next door to me like she had for so long. So she brought her brand new baby that she had had just a few months after I had had Will and one of her other kiddos, and she came to visit. She was really concerned that she might not get to meet my son otherwise if she didn't really take advantage of that, and she wanted to spend some time supporting me. So while she was there, we had some conversations, and Carly is an excellent listener. I told her how difficult a time I was having, and above all else, the thing that was really going to push me over the edge was that my son was a really lousy eater. And I had wanted to breastfeed him so badly because I didn't love breastfeeding with my first. We made it to about 8 months, but he was nicknamed Cardamoo because he drank so much milk and I felt like he was glued to me 24/7. It was a little suffocating. But then my second, I was like, okay, I'm going to make it a year. I need to do that. And then she and I both got thrush so badly that I couldn't keep nursing her. I was bleeding when I pumped. It was awful. So with my third, I was convinced this is my chance. I'm going to breastfeed. I'm going to be amazing. That's my one thing that I'm going to master this time around. We're going to make it to a full year of breastfeeding. Well, my son being born with a chronic lung disease really struggled to breathe. And so breastfeeding was especially hard for him. He would start nursing and being that close to my chest, it was even harder for him to breathe. And he would just pull away and pull away. Either that or he would get really, really tired. The energy that he had to use to try and nurse was too much and it would exhaust him completely. He was burning way too many calories trying to breastfeed. So he had a really hard time, and I had a really hard time because this was my goal. This is what I was supposed to be good at. Once he was more officially diagnosed around 6 months old, I had taken to pumping full time. And let me just tell you what, if you have ever pumped, you know that it not only sucks and brings forth all the milk from your body, but it also sucks and takes your soul with it. Okay, pumping is awful. I hate it. It's so hard. And I was doing it full time. So I started to feel kind of like a failure. Like I can't feed my baby. But at the very least, I want to be able to give him some breast milk. And you know, moms, we put a lot of guilt on ourselves unnecessarily when I should have maybe seen life a little differently and recognized my bandwidth only being so big. So I was getting burned out and I was complaining to Carly, like, pumping is so hard. I just can't do it anymore. I can't do it. And at the time, I just, you know, I was in the hospital most of the time. When I wasn't, I wanted to be with my kids, that I had to leave home. So I told her that I was needing to be done. But that broke my heart because my son needed every ounce of nutrition that he could possibly get. So she told me, well, I'm breastfeeding. I'll send you breast milk, which I kind of had to laugh about because she lived literally on the opposite coast of the country. There was no way she was going to be able to send me breast milk, right? Gross. But she was committed, and so she started. She started pumping after she left California. She went back to Massachusetts, and she started pumping, and she started looking at shipping. And she started doing her research. Okay, how am I going to get this from me to California, all frozen? So every time we would talk and she would kind of catch up with me, she would casually say, okay, well, this is something I'm planning on doing. So just know, like, you don't have to worry. I'm going to send you milk. And I would just kind of laugh like, oh, this is uncomfortable. That's really nice of you. But one, I don't feel like I can ask you for anything like that. That's huge. What an immense, blah, like, service. How can I possibly even ask you to do that when I can't even do that? Anyway, I pretty much told her, that's nice of you. It's kind of a waste of time, I think. Just a huge burden. You don't need this. So don't worry about it. But she was determined. And the first box of breast milk that she shipped to me was so absolutely disgusting. It was hilarious that the postman even delivered it. Like, whoever that postman is, one day we owe a great big, like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry you had to haul that around with you, because it was rancid. The whole box was soggy. all of the milk had leaked through the box and it was spoiled and disgusting. It was leaking. And so the postman put it in a giant garbage bag and he delivered it to my door. And Carly and I laughed and laughed and laughed. And also I wanted to cry and be like, oh my gosh, all of this breast milk that you spent so much time pumping for me and it's ruined. I was devastated, mostly for her, to be quite honest. But she laughed about it with me and was like, it's fine, I'm going to figure this out. So she tried again, but this time she put in some research and she found a reptile shipping company that shipped reptiles, snakes, lizards. And in order to ship reptiles, you have to keep them really cold. And so she ordered shipping materials from this reptile shipping company and she packaged up frozen breast milk, took it immediately to the post office and sent it my way all the way across the country. Of course, she paid more to get it there as quickly as possible so it would not take forever, but when it arrived, I was a little nervous. I opened the box and the breast milk was still completely frozen. I could hardly believe it. And the triumph that she felt, I know, was just immense. And I'll never forget. I will never forget this act of service. I will never forget opening that first bag of breast milk, thawing it out, putting it into my son's G-tube and feeding him and giving him something that I felt like I couldn't personally give, but feeling so good about what I was giving him. And so grateful that my sister had made that sacrifice for me and my son. Cute Carly will never, ever know. She will never know, no matter how many times I talk about this, no matter how many podcast episodes I make, she'll never understand the value that she gave to me by just sending me breast milk. You can't even say just, because again, we moms, we know the sacrifice that it is to pump and pump and pump. Oh, she had to pump extra. She was already feeding a baby, but she felt like it was within her bandwidth and within her capacity. And she wanted to show up and she wanted to do it. And she shipped me breast milk for about 5 to 6 months. Can you even believe it? So the moral of my story, again, in talking with you today is not to tell you that you have to do some grandiose thing. I love sharing these examples because I just think there's nothing more selfless I can think of than all of the love and generosity that was given to me when I was having a really hard time. And you might not want to walk into someone's house and sit down and fold their laundry. That might it not be warranted. And that's okay. That's okay. Carly sending me breast milk. This was a huge, huge thing. You might not feel like that's within your bandwidth or your wheelhouse, and that's okay. That's all right. At this point, it's not for me to tell you that you have to do something big or that you have to do something at all. But I do want to encourage you to always consider what can you do to serve a fellow mother today? What can you do? I mean, you know what motherhood's like. You know how challenging it is. You know what a struggle it is day in and day out. You know how lonely it can be. Isn't it likely that every other mother out there is feeling the same way? Right? So maybe we can give little things, like maybe we can be less critical. Social media is the first place that I see mothers tearing each other apart for breastfeeding, not breastfeeding, for vaccinating, not vaccinating, for the choices they make and how they raise their child or how they don't, for their lifestyles, what they eat, what they don't. My goodness, like you see people tearing each other apart. Whether you're a gentle parent or whether you're a hardcore parent or whatever it is, what if we were less critical of one another and more supportive? What if we allowed other mothers to make the decisions that they felt were best for them because that gives us the same opportunity, freedom, and agency to do the same for ourselves? Man, being less critical is such a gift. What if we looked at our capacity and our bandwidth, and we could honestly say, yeah, you know what? In this moment, I don't have a ton to offer. I don't have a ton to give. But then the next week, we reevaluate and we say, I have a little bit more this week. Yeah, I've got a little room. I've got a little more that I could share. And even if it's just listening to another mom and supporting her through a difficult time, or offering to take dinner to someone, maybe even if they didn't just have a baby, maybe you just feel like they're overwhelmed. Hey, can I just make double of what I'm making and bring some by? Maybe it's meeting up or inviting someone to get out of the house. Moms need to get out of the house. Calling someone up, texting them, hey, do you need to get out of the house as badly as I do? Let's go. Let's go get some lunch. Or what about if you're at the grocery store and you know someone who could use a hand and who's struggling a little bit, and you say, hey, I'm at the store. Can I pick something up for you while I'm here so that you don't have to load everybody in the car? Is there anything on your list that you've forgotten? Do you need extra diapers, wipes? What can I do? You cannot imagine the difference that it makes when you support and show up for other moms, because one day you will need that same support and you will need that same exact love. And when you receive it, and when you realize this village that you created, not that you sat back and waited for, but this village that you created for yourself by being generous, and you created this village for your kids and your community and one another, this deep connection that you've made within motherhood, when it's given back to you, it is the most humbling and inspiring thing in the entire world. But in order to receive it, you have to spend time being it. You have to invest in it. So I want to leave that message with you today. I want you to think, where can I be the village? Not who is my village. Where can I be the village? Because when you can start to show up and be the village, and you know what? I couldn't be the village when William was chronically ill. It was too much. I couldn't do it. But I had a village. I had a village because I'd been in the village beforehand. Because I had been taking care of others where I could. I had been reaching out, making invitations, trying to get to know other moms, whether it was big or small. But it was always enough. It was always enough. So I hope that you remember that moms need moms. We need other women. We need connection. Not everybody has family that will support them so heavily. But we can build a family. We can create one. We don't get there with more criticism. We don't need more criticism. We do that ourselves. We're hard on ourselves. Moms are the worst when it comes to self-criticism and shame. We already do that. And we can be relentless with it sometimes. We need support. We need community. We need other moms. We need connection. We need to know that we're not going to screw up our kids lifelong and that we're doing okay at this motherhood thing. But you have to be the village in order to have the village. You have to be the support. Be the support in order to receive the support. You have to give the love that you want to receive back. So every opportunity that you possibly can, uplift the women around you. I'm tired of hearing about women supporting women. I don't want to hear about it anymore. I want to see it. I want to see it, and I want to be it. So let's do that.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Fourth Trimester Training Podcast. If you're ready to take your journey to the next level with personalized support, we offer one-on-one coaching tailored to your unique needs. Whether it's functional health, nutrition, or postpartum corrective exercise, we're here to guide you every step of the way. Connect with me on Instagram at Lynn C. Newman or at Fourth Trimester Training to learn more and schedule your free consultation. Let's work together to achieve your goals and embrace the strongest version of you.